Well, hello there, everybody. Goodness me, that almost sounds like I'm in the circus, doesn't it, really? Oh, a bit weird. Anyway, just thought I'd welcome you to Chapter 2 as part of the Seeing, Feeling, Hearing and Being with yourself, with your body, with the spirit, with life, with people, and the series that goes with it. So this is Chapter 2. This is more about the seeing, because we've already covered the seeing with how we use our brain to detect things in space. We've also talked about the visibility, acceptance of politics, corporations. We've also talked about, briefly, judging and observing, which I'm going to touch on a little bit more today. And today we're going to really, I'm going to tell you about my story, how I first started seeing, because my clients have often asked me, how did it all begin for you, Tiff? And then I'm just going to cover a few other things, and then we're just going to see how we go for time. How does that sound? I guess I'd like to really start with these two words, observing and judgment, or judging. For me, it's been really interesting as a orthobiologist. I've had to observe people in how they move, how they work with space, how they move through space, how they move their arm, see how their pain is, and being able to not judge how they got there. So, and also between observing and judgment, observing is you're just looking at something, someone, you're observing a tree, you're observing a person in the street. May not even give them a second glance, but that's just observing. Judgment, hang out with this, judgment is more about, in a deeper sense, it's about your energy changes for that person. You make a judgment, you go, oh, I wouldn't do it like that. And you feel as though there's been a shift in friendship or a shift in energy that you feel a bit bad about what you see in that person. Whereas observing, you just go, oh, well, they chose that way to do it, and the friendship never changes in energy. For example, if you found out your best friend was having an affair on his wife, you may look at it two ways. B, you feel loyal to the wife, or A, you feel loyal to the wife. And so the energy changes between yourself and your friend, because now you feel you're put on the spot where you have to protect him as a friend. And yet you have to also have a loyalty to his wife, which may also have become a friend. So do you observe and do nothing and stay with it? Or do you judge that person and change the energy and either go and tell the wife about what's happened or distance yourself from that friend? That's the difference. And what I find is mean-spirited people tend to be more judgy, and they often only come from their place of where they've been and their experience and what they know from their reality, which is very different, by crikey, from that other person, their reality and their experience, because they can never know what that other person has been through, you know. So it's a really close call between judging and observing. So when you go through this world in a day, just notice what people do. Do they judge you on that comment? Do they judge you on what they see you're wearing? Or are they just observing and things just carry on the way that they've always carried on? Okay, so now on to seeing yourself. My word, that's a really hard journey to go into. And especially if you want to see yourself to be able to see others, like guides, loved ones, ascended masters, angels, orbs of light, fractal patterns or auras, you've really got to get rid of some of the stuff that's been holding you back and clearing and marring your vision, enable you to see really what is around you in the fourth dimension. Now, here's a sideline, how my senses opened up, how I got rid of, cleared some stuff that I didn't even know I had to clear. Anyway, I'm an orthobiologist, which means to gently position the body in a non-invasive way to facilitate the healing of the body's own healing mechanism. So during qualifying, becoming a practitioner, I'll go into orthobiology in another chapter. It's a huge subject. Anyway, we have to do a course called isometrics, isotonics. And for this, it's all about stimulating the nervous system. So we hold an arm so we can release the first rib for 5 to 10 seconds, and then we release it. Anyway, what this does, and that's another story, is actually constantly ignite the neural pathways through the brain, because it's engaging how we move through space. So I was teaching my body how to properly move the muscles, move the shoulder, move the wrist, move the hands, move the lower back, and how to heal itself. And so often with healing, we have these 16 hours of orthobotomy and an isometrics course. And I came out of it with a dear friend of mine, Maurice, and we sat in the car, and then all of a sudden, floodgates opened. I howled and cried hysterically. Oh my goodness. I couldn't believe where it came from. I just was just in awe of all these tears flooding out. Anyway, I had to drive this friend home. And while I was driving along the motorway in Wellington, still crying, probably a little bit dangerous doing that, but you know, we still had to get going. And I suddenly saw Kuan Yin on the bonnet, as did my friend Marie. She was my mentor for a number of years, and we both were there as I was driving on autopilot. Now, on the side, luckily the science with an automatic brain, when it's used to doing the journey, if there's anything different, the brain will immediately click back in to notice something. Anyway, so we were driving on the motorway and we seen Kuan Yin, and all of a sudden my sixth sense had opened, because I had activated, physically, physiologically activated my neurons within my brain with my muscles, my nervous system, and everything was a somatosensory perception, so much more heightened. As was my eyes and the production of tears. Oh my goodness, there were so many tears. I was sobbed. My shoulders hurt from so much sobbing. My cheeks ached from crying so much. I couldn't breathe. My nose was stuffed up, but I just kept giving these tears. And I had no idea why I had all these tears. And it seemed that it was just a release. I was told it was just a release of all the stuff that I needed to get cleared out before they could start sending me messages. And this is how it began for me. So I guess what really helps, if you want to be on this path of knowing what's in the fourth dimension, it's worth doing something like yoga, which moves the body. I've heard now of people going through yoga and having emotional releases on their mats, feeling when they're squeezing the liver, there is so much emotion in the liver, especially if you follow the Chinese medicine way, and just having breakdowns while they're learning how to teach yoga as well. And also just being on the mat. I personally am a yoga teacher as well. I learned in India too many years ago. And so I know that kind of journey back then. It was quite phenomenal, things that get released. And sometimes it's actually not worth us knowing why we're releasing it, because it's not always for us to know. It could be a past life thing. It could be a present thing. It could be a hurt or an argument that you had with your best friend about 5 years ago. It can be anything. And it's actually not worth even knowing, because sometimes if we keep remembering what that hurt is, it keeps instigating the pictures and the memory again in the hippocampus, in the temporal lobe, and we don't want to keep revisiting it. Sometimes it's just worth closing the door. It's okay to feel what it was, but it's not okay to go back through that situation. Many psychiatrists and psychologists also agree with this technique, not bother going through that cathartic thing. It's just not worth it. It was very popular back in the 70s, reliving that trauma. It's not worth it. We don't want to repattern that hippocampus. We don't want to give a squirt of the cortisol, which is what will keep happening if you keep living through that trauma. You want to be able to have that peaceful feeling, or not so peaceful feeling, that feeling move through your body in a peaceful, non-attachment way. Again, we come back to observing those feelings moving through your body. And you can do all this through meditation. So in order to see more in the fourth dimension, it's also about being quiet. It's about being still, listening to your breath, closing your eyes. Perhaps you start seeing colors behind your eyelids while you're meditating. Perhaps you see visions, or you suddenly have a past loved one come into that vision, come into your mind. What do you notice? What do you see? How do you observe it? I remember when it first started happening to me, and I said, oh my goodness, look what's happening. And then I'd lose it again, instead of staying calm and centered, keeping my spine really nice and straight, and then just allowing my mind to find the nothingness and see what turns up. Okay, you're doing your daily practice and meditation, things come up. Confronting things come up in you. You'll say, what do I do with this? What do I do with my brother committing suicide and finding him in the hallway? You don't actually need to do anything. You just need to feel how it felt. Obviously, many tears, perhaps anger, frustration, hurt, and just allow that to flow through the tears, to flow through whatever you're feeling. Maybe your body could even start shaking and you start discharging, and just allow it to happen. Don't worry, your body will always recover. And that's what's so amazing about the human body and the human mind, the way it knows how to heal. And so by doing these kind of things in meditation, it's also helped shake off all the shit that we just don't need for us to have more love and more light come out of our very soul. So as when these uncomfortable feelings come up for you, say you get reminded by an ex, or suddenly you smell something which reminds you of a bit of a concern, a trauma, then perhaps next time you go into a meditation or getting some quiet time, maybe just with your feet on the ground, nice and grounding, you just take a notice of that feeling at that moment of reliving it, or that uncomfortable moment. And then just, if you can, just have an idea of a beautiful memory, something that makes every single cell in your body buzz. And just allow that huge smile just envelope every single cell through your body. And then just come back and just revisit and just see how that feeling of what you just felt of trauma or the uncomfortable moment feels like again. Perhaps you could give it a number in the beginning, say it's an 8 out of 10. And then you have that really yummy feeling of warmth and love and a cherished moment you have. For me, it's always going up to Ruakaka with my kids one summer, and we had the best weekend ever. And for me, that makes me smile so much in every single cell. And that's the way I use it with also Bionomy in my clinic. We have a concern or a feeling or a bit of a trauma. They sit in that feeling. They give me a number. I sit there with my hands on the head and I move that smiley love energy throughout the brain. And then we just allow time and space just for the own body just to dissolve it into the gaps between the neurons. Who knows where they go? Scientists don't know where all the memories go. And this changes the vibration. So we're bringing through love and happiness. And gradually this changes the vibration of the trauma, of perhaps that memory of it, or the feeling of that memory, more to the point. I work with clients like this several times. So perhaps try that at home if you need to. Just take your time and always remember, always have a smiling memory, to really be established in that memory before you start on this. Now, gradually, as you gradually get rid of these little bit of traumas, concerns, irritating moments, self-esteem will start picking yourself up. You also start feeling more grounded within yourself with meditation. And by emptying your mind in the meditation, you're then able to start seeing things. Ask spirit the question, what's my purpose? Perhaps they'll give you a picture of being a teacher. Perhaps they'll give you a picture of flowers, a florist. Or maybe that you're not ready to hear the answer. So also don't always put so much pressure on yourself that it all becomes, oh, I've got to think of this, I've got to think of that. Let it be. It's about getting out of your way, actually. Too much thinking, that's all about the ego. They want the result. Whereas if you actually listen and see what the teacher, the soul, the master, the heart actually has for you, and it will give you answers, and it may see it, or you may even see words within your face or within your head in the nothingness space, or you may even have words whispered to you. That we're going to cover more in the hearing chapter. Often the best way for you to start seeing things is just relaxing into your breath, maybe even bringing out some really nice angel music on YouTube. Feel the vibe. There are so many different hurts that can help you heal, can help you meditate. YouTube has thousands of them. So I would suggest have find one yourself and see how they go. Everything from rainwater to harpsichord, who knows? So perhaps sit down and listen to some music at first, or even a guided meditation, and then just see how it goes. But every little bit helps. And by crikey, it's really hard sometimes to stop that monkey chatter. Don't be hard on yourself. Everybody gets monkey chatter. Oh my goodness. It's like, tomorrow's lunch. Have I got to pick up the kids from school today? Have I organized the groceries with my next door neighbor? You know it. It all goes through the mind as soon as you start stilling yourself. However, bring yourself back to a focus of your breath, of your body, and see how you feel. Long, slow out breaths, perhaps a wee pause, and then a nice, long, slow in breath, a little bit of a pause, and repeat, and just see how you feel. The more you do this, the more the world of 4D will start opening up, especially things like auras or orbs. So I touched on auras last time in the first chapter, and I'm just wondering if anybody's actually been practicing. You know, auras are amazing. They can change from week in to week out, depending on how you've been, how you've felt, whether you've been sick. Now, part of the book, Seeing, Feeling, Hearing, and Being with Spirit, in that chapter is all about auras. Now, I had my dear friend Kirsty Bruce go off to a place beyond the veil in Auckland, New Zealand, and have her picture taken. Now, obviously, I needed it to be printed into the book. Now, the lovely people at Being Beyond the Veil, they sent me the whole PDF, which also was all her explanation about her color aura. So this first one was all about the reds and the oranges. Anyway, one thing led to another. I couldn't obviously publish that or send that to Pegasus Publishing. Instead, we sent Kirsty along for the second one. Now, this time, it had turned to green. And so what this also meant was she had settled more in herself. She was feeling more grounded within herself. She was having more love within her life. So auras change, and that's what's fascinating. So what you might see in your partner one week may change for another. I mean, for myself also as a clinician, I often check out the aura, or I check out the fractal patterns or waves of lines that I see. And I can tell through soreness, maybe in a hip or an ankle, or I can see just a distortion around that body, around that body part. And so I often know where the body is crying out to go, hey, look at me, I want to be helped. I go, sweet. Anyway, so remember just to focus but unfocus around people if you're going to read their auras. Much easier if there's a blank background behind you. It could be in the church, could be on the bus, could be in the cinema while they're waiting for the film to start. Just keep practicing and see how it goes. Now, on a sideline, big science-y, because I am a scientist. I did do a Bachelor of Science in Psychology. Now, what fascinated me about the brain was the fusy face form area. It's, I believe, if I remember correctly, it's on the left side at the back and the inferior of the temporal lobe. This area is fascinating. This is what denotes us from seeing one face to another, say with brown eyebrows, with blonde eyebrows, with a pointy nose, with a Greek kind of nose, with a bump on the middle, or whether they have a square jaw, whether they have a pointy jaw. And this little area of our brain tells us and how to differentiate what we see in people. Now, there was this one gentleman, unfortunately, he had a virus and it went and destroyed this part of the brain. So he then saw people exactly the same face. Can you imagine that? Looking in the crowd of baseball, looking for your wife, and everybody is the same face. In fact, they did a short film about him, and he has to follow the sound of her voice in order to find her. I want to leave you with this. Can you imagine seeing everybody exactly the same? How weird would that be? So in fact, you'd have to detect differences in their aura or differences in their sound patterns. Yes. So I'm going to leave you with that little short number two chapter. And number three, I will be coming back more about guides and loved ones and how to see them or notice them in your house or your life. So I hope you have a lovely evening, lovely afternoon, or lovely morning, and your day goes well. Love and light to you all.